Welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio with author, speaker, and your host, Pat Rulo. Serving you a generous helping of everything you need to know to help you and your loved ones stay safe during any doctor or hospital visit. The program is not intended to replace medical advice from a licensed professional, but rather to encourage you to become a well-informed participant in your health and well-being. And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Hello and welcome. I'm Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety, where each week we delve into little-known healthcare and hospital hazards, as well as other fringe topics that affect your health and well-being. I'm so happy you've taken the time to join me, and today I have lots to share with you. So, let's dig right in, shall we? Always bringing you up-to-date information about healthcare and hospital safety. And the best way to do this is to seek out the people who have dedicated themselves to become experts on an important topic, and then have the willingness and, quite frankly, sometimes the guts to expose the truth. And our guest today is that person when it comes to the hidden dangers behind vaccines. She is Al Whitney, who lives in Central Ohio. She has a diverse background, which includes healthcare, environmentalism, and community viability. She was a medical professional for many years and is married to a retired physician. In 2009, Al founded For Ohioans, which is now called Parents Against Mandatory Vaccines. Her research led her to discover that our so-called government is really a franchise network of corporate entities all listed on Dun & Bradstreet. Then in 2011, Al founded People for Safe Technologies as a response to the growing threat of electromagnetic radiation exposure, another topic we speak about quite often. So there's so much to find out from this busy gal. So welcome to the show, Al.
Thank you. I'm just thrilled to be here.
Well, we're thrilled to have you here. We would love to keep you for days and days because it seems like you've got so much information. But today, let's just focus on vaccinations.
Great.
All right. You sent me something extremely important and very organized and to the point. And this is what I want to share with our listeners today. You talk about four indisputable facts when it comes to vaccines. Well, let's dig into it. You called number one. You say vaccines cause illness and injuries, and neither the public nor health practitioners have been told the truth by the CDC. But you say CDC Inc. Let's talk about that one.
Well, yeah, I did say CDC Inc. because it is a corporation listed on Dun & Bradstreet. In March 2011, some scientists from the UK did a research paper, and it exposed that for the past 30 years, the UK government was intentionally concealing the harmful effects of vaccines. So if the UK government, quote unquote, has been concealing these facts for 30 years, in actuality, the same is true in the United States. We've got reports everywhere that have been coming out for many years exposing the truth about vaccines. Even Russell Blaylock has said publicly that if a physician really wants to know the truth about vaccines, there's peer-reviewed information everywhere. All the physician has to do is look for it. And sadly, most physicians don't. So the information is everywhere, and the health practitioners who are administering these vaccines have been deceived.
I mean, I'm not a physician, but I can easily go out and do this research, and I watched that Russell Blaylock video, and I've read so many documentation about this, and this is not even my job. This is not what I do for a living. So let's say we've got a physician. This is what they do for a living, a pediatrician. This is what they do. How is it that they don't know this information? And doesn't it border, isn't it negligence? Isn't it almost criminal not to do the research and wantonly vaccinate?
Well, I think people have to understand about physicians. They have to have continuing medical education courses, so many hours per year, to maintain their license. So these courses have to be credentialed. They have to be a certain category or certain level. And those who decide what education courses are considered acceptable and what courses are not actually are in charge of what information these physicians get at these meetings. My husband attended many of them, and the speakers in front of the room frequently represent the vaccine industry. Or what they do is they will get a pediatrician who works closely with the vaccine industry to stand up there, or closely with the drug cartel, I should say, stand up there and espouse the glories and wonders of vaccines. Even on the Gardasil, my husband attended an educational course, and an OB-GYN individual came up singing the praises of Gardasil. And what was so interesting, when my husband would raise his arm to make a comment, he said, they are extremely good at shutting down, cutting off any physicians who want to disagree with what they're trying to do. Mm-mm. So that whole room full of physicians, he said he was in a room with 40 physicians. He was only the only one who asked a question about the Gardasil vaccine, and he was shut down so fast, and the other physicians, they just kept silent. That's how it's done.
And that's mind-blowing that you've got a room of intellectual people who can't see the fact that there is a conflict of interest. Let's see, the pharmaceutical company who makes this is telling me how wonderful it is. I mean, it doesn't take a child could figure that out.
You would think so. But again, it's kind of a level of intimidation, Pat. I mean, they weren't happy that my husband brought up a comment about Gardasil, pretty much saying that he did not think that they had the scientific proof that it was effective or necessary. And they shut him down so fast. And I think the rest of the room starts to get intimidated.
So in other words, if you don't do things our way, you're not going to practice medicine?
I mean, it gets very close to that. And the whole vaccine industry situation, as we talk further, it is getting extremely close to that. They're starting to use a carrot and a stick approach to these physicians.
All right, let's move on to your second one, because this is a doozy. Number two, you say the vaccine industry has been given immunity from lawsuits.
Yes, and that was done in 1986. As a result, they had a lot of Guillain-Barré previously, and from what I've been told, the big pharma was just about ready to walk out because they'd lost a lot of lawsuits, and they were going to get out of the vaccine industry. And the medical professionals said, oh, no, we need our vaccines. And so Congress passed a law giving them immunity from any lawsuits. So they pretty much said, okay, we'll set up this compensation trust fund. Imagine that. Here you have a big drug company, a big corporation's cartels. And all of a sudden, they are allowed to concoct or put anything in these vaccinations they wish. Granted, the FDA needs to approve them, but that approval is pretty much perfunctory at this point. And they don't have to worry about being sued. Well, and when the H1 pandemic came down, Sebelius, who was in charge of Health and Human Services, he said on CNN, we're going to give immunity on this vaccine to not only the companies who produce the vaccine, those who sell the vaccine, those who produce the vaccine, and all of those who administer the vaccine on all levels. So that when they opened up the school vaccination programs, which I think you might be aware they did in many schools, they were doing vaccination clinics. All of those involved in that whole fiasco were told that they had complete immunity, not to worry, nobody could sue them. So now you've given the whole industry, the vaccine business industry, immunity from any lawsuits. They have no liability at all. So what happens? Who's left with the liability? Well, if they won't take the liability, the doctors won't take the liability. Who has the liability for the injury to the child? The person who grants them permission to vaccinate the child ends up with the liability. And I do believe if you know anything about autism, you will see that that's exactly what happens. And on our website, we have a video clip of a nurse who took a vaccine and ended up with Guillain-Barré. It's a very sad story. And everybody walked away from her. She had to figure out how to pay for it herself. The daughter had to help her. She was left paralyzed. And financially, pretty much their whole life was a tragedy. And they ended up with the liability. But people have to understand, it's easy to sell vaccines if you have no liability.
Well, absolutely. What other industry is there that does this kind of thing? And why do people accept this?
People don't know. They're not told. That's why I put this up on the website. They are not told. My husband knew, but I don't believe the doctors tell their patients.
I was just going to say, what about disclosure?
Yeah, well, that's another problem. And my husband's a good guy. I hope everybody understands. He's a good guy.
Okay.
But he's been in the system, right? So he knows what the system tells the doctor. And I asked him, did you give the package insert to the patients when you were offering them a vaccine or suggesting that they have the child vaccinated? He said, no, we didn't normally do that because we felt that if we did that, the patient would refuse the vaccine.
Mm.
So as a physician, they know that. So they give them little brochures or handouts that kind of glamorize vaccines, you know, and they keep the serious adverse reactions away from their awareness. In fact, in Ohio, when they passed the chickenpox, a pharmacist, Catherine Severn, who lives in Dayton, got involved with trying to stop the mandatory chickenpox vaccines. And on my website is an article she wrote called Vaccines, Profiteers, and Conflicts of Interest. She talked about literally how an individual, the industry, managed to convince a woman to run for state representative. They paid for her election. She got elected, and her job was essentially to get this statute on the books, this chickenpox, mandatory chickenpox vaccine on the books. And there was a whole hullabaloo at the time. Most of the legislators wanted to pass a full disclosure statute requiring that all the risks be fully disclosed to parents, to everyone, really. And through political shenanigans, they managed to maneuver that one out of the legislation, and they managed to get the mandatory chickenpox vaccine passed. And when that was all done, her term was only 2 years. She never ran again.
Mm-hmm.
So when you've got lobbyists who can bribe untrained representatives, there seems to be no way to stop this without exposing the whole system.
Right. Wow, and that's scary, you know, mandatory in school like that. We had another guest on the show. We were talking about the dangers of iPads and wireless in schools and how none of this is disclosed to parents. Yet if they go to a field trip to the zoo, they've got all these forms that they have to sign. And not so with the vaccines or the dangers of the radio frequencies given off by the iPads. It's just insane.
It's insane, and the parents don't realize that they're, by signing all those forms, they're consenting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
All right, number three, you say health agencies who promote vaccines are really private corporations doing business.
That's correct. Starting right at the top with the CDC, it's a corporation headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia, listed on Dun & Bradstreet. It is doing business. What's interesting is they will all admit that they're doing business. You say to someone who works for the CDC, well, you know, you work for a corporation. Well, yeah, and it's amazing. It's like a record that they've all been trained. Then they'll respond by saying, well, we're just a corporation so we can do business. And they're completely programmed. They don't see that's a problem.
Oh,
it's the most amazing thing. So when you expose them and say you're just a corporation doing business, they say, yeah, well, we have to be to do business. Anyone who understands a corporation is a legal construct, as they call it, a legal structure, so that people can create a company / corporation for profit. There's no other purpose for a corporation than profit. And also, it allows the corporate veil to be constructed. This is a private corporation. We don't know who the stockholders are. We don't know who the owners are, do we? And I know I never got a notice, would you like to buy stock in the CDC? But their bottom line, anybody who understands what a corporation is, understands that they have a fiscal duty to their bottom line.
Right.
And the last thing you want is a health organization who's dedicated to their bottom line first and foremost. Then you add to the fact that they're claiming immunity because they're supposedly part of the government. You've got the perfect formula for a disaster.
Absolutely. And you say on your website several times, the CDC is not part of a legitimate government. It is a private for-profit corporation that is chartered under the umbrella of the private for-profit United States Corporation with extremely close ties to the pharmaceutical companies.
It appears that this corporate franchise network that we call government, that the United States Corporation, and people want to know how that happened, they can go to the Anti-Corruption Society on the very front page. There is a link to the USA is just another corporation. But it is the mother corporation, and what's so interesting is they're all connected,
right,
which is why you see the CDC in Washington has actually this same pharmacist exposed that they have full-time employees working in Ohio at the Department of Public Health. So they're not distinct, what you would consider distinct units.
Right.
They work in unison. So that's what we've got. It's a network of corporate agencies. our government is a corporation, and I found a statute expressing the fact that the state legislators said it's okay for them to accept private gifts for whatever purpose people want to give the money for. Well, that's not working for me.
No, and that speaks to your fourth point, where you say vaccine mandates are merely statutory rules of state corporations.
Exactly. So they are for-profit enterprises. They take money. They enter into contracts. But because they're a private for-profit corporation, they cannot make laws to living that govern living men and women. A dead legal fiction is a corporation, right? It only exists on a piece of paper in a safe somewhere, right? A corporate charter. It's a fiction. I mean, you cannot call the state of Ohio on the phone, and I've challenged people and said, if you think the state of Ohio is real, I want you to get them on the phone. And they'll say, well, what number? Well, I said, whatever number you want. So they go to the phone book and they call the state of Ohio and they say, well, they want to know which department. And I say to them, no, I don't want to talk to a department or an employee. I don't want to talk to an employee. I want to talk to the state of Ohio. Well, we don't have a number. I said, why do you think you don't have a number?
Uh-huh.
Because it doesn't exist. It cannot speak on its own. It cannot walk. It cannot talk. And it cannot make decisions. So how do we get sucked into this? We get sucked into by contracts. And all those little paperwork things that you're saying parents are given to sign, there you go.
So now we're on the other end of that contract, though, as individuals, and we're told, you know, you have to have this vaccination. I'm wanting to let our listeners know there is such a thing as a refusal to vaccinate form?
Yes, there is.
Okay,
and,
cool. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because that is a form that they don't want to sign. It's a legal trap. Well, the date on the form is 2013. When my husband and I looked at it, we both agreed the pediatricians had no idea what this form was. A bunch of lawyers conjured up this form, and they told the pediatricians that this would be a good idea, and they probably just briefly looked at it, and they said, fine. And they started passing it out everywhere. It's showing up in pediatrics offices. It's showing up in doctor's offices. Any parent who refuses a vaccination for their child is given this form. And it says right at the top, refusal to vaccinate. This is a form they cannot sign. They must not, cannot. If we could get that word out, I would be so happy.
Yeah.
This form is a legal trap.
A legal trap is what you're saying.
It is a legal trap.
Okay.
It is worse than that. It is an adhesion contract. You are admitting that if you don't vaccinate your child, it's on this form, you are endangering your child's health and the health of others.
Whoa.
And yet you're still refusing to vaccinate your child.
Wow.
That's what, when you read the details,
mm-hmm.
That's what the form says, and it's got witnesses. Anytime people see any form given to you that has a witness, understand there's no purpose for that witness other than that form could stand up in court.
Right.
That means that is a legal form designed to stand up in court. So people need to be so much more skeptical than they've been. On our website, we have the form. Someone in New York gave it to me. I was so happy. I was happy to get it, but I was so unhappy to read it because it does two things. One is it incriminates the parent, and it's the form is designed, at the top it says child's ID. It is designed to be tracked. Purpose of this form is not to sit idly in one file. It is designed to be tracked. So when it puts down the name of the doctor or the nurse, that name of the doctor or nurse, if it's a doctor of conscience, when the parent says, I'm not interested, and he said, fine, they're going to be able to now collect the names of all the doctors that they are going to call non-compliant. So this form, the physicians don't realize that it harms both the parent and the healthcare provider should he or she be completely reasonable and respectful of the parent's wishes.
So a parent, if they sign this vaccine refusal form, now they actually have a contract that says, I believe that these vaccines really do what they're supposed to do and they protect children, but I'm choosing not to do that. And so therefore, I might be viewed as a bad parent, negligent. And at some point in time, they may look at that parent and say, you know what, you shouldn't be in custody of this child anymore.
That's a risk that they're taking. Not only that, if you read it, it also says that I understand that I may endanger the
other children,
health of other people.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say they start this campaign, which I'm very concerned they're going to start, this witch hunt against parents who are smart enough to protect their children from vaccines. You may find other parents, if a child gets mumps or measles, they're going to look around to see who didn't get vaccinated, and they've been so indoctrinated, they may try to sue the parent who didn't vaccinate their kid. The number one thing on my plate is to try to get parents to understand this that they're changing these vaccine exemptions and give them an alternative. And you do a good job of educating people who are not what I call vaccine aware.
Right.
You do a great job.
Well, thank you. Let's get back to that for a moment. So let's say we've got a young mother. I've got two in my family right this moment. And they've got these newborn children, and they're seeing the pediatrician, and they're like, yep, we got to get these immunizations done. They're going to be put on the spot. You know, everybody feels like the doctor knows best. What do you suggest that these parents can do immediately to avoid this?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked me that. I know how arrogant they can be, and I also know that they're programmed with talking points. So they've already got the talking points. I don't care what you say to them. It is most likely that they've been given a talking point. And if you come up with something new at the next medical educational seminar, they ask them, have you had any objections to vaccines that you hadn't heard before? They survey them so they can create the spin for them. Okay, so yes. I have a wonderful story of a great success. One of the ways the games is played is they don't give full disclosure to the parents. They try to avoid those package inserts. They try to do it by word of mouth. There's no record of it. Oh, Mrs. Smith, this is going to be wonderful. You know, this is part of what we have to do, blah, blah, blah. It's all a sales job, word of mouth. Now, I knew a couple. He and his partner had a baby, and the newborn was in the hospital, and in comes the nurse with the vaccine. His mother had educated him on vaccines, so he was vaccine aware. However, the mother of the child was not, so it immediately caused a conflict right there. So he was very patient with her, and he said to the nurse, please give us the package inserts so she can read about them. And the nurse complied. They may argue with you, but I think they must comply if you push. So the nurse brought in the package insert and handed it to the mother, who read it and read the adverse reactions and said, well, no thanks, I'm not interested. Now, they kept that package insert, which had evidence of what adverse reactions the drug company is admitting to in print. They kept it in their hot little hands. Now the nurse knew that not only had they read it, they had a copy. So that was the end of the discussion. No one ever approached the mother again while she was in the hospital regarding vaccines. Now, as far as when they go see a pediatrician, we have that on this page that we have the refusal to do not sign, refusal to vaccinate form. We have something called the vaccination notice. That's a product of a collaboration of many good people. This is also, this vaccination form is for physicians. It is, instead of signing the refusal to vaccinate form, the parent needs to write at the top of the form, or not sign it at all. Just say, I'm not signing it, because they cannot make you sign it.
Right.
That would be best. Just don't sign it. But hand the physician your vaccination notice. And the concept of the vaccination notice is, it's really basically what you would call a legal notice in their corporate statutory world.
Okay.
They use legal notices all the time. I mean, everybody knows that. You publish in the paper, this is a legal notice. So what it is essentially a legal notice putting down facts that are not commonly known by even the physicians. And so we put down some of the facts on this legal notice. As a parent, you want the doctor to know, it says down there, if you are aware that those manufacturing, ordering, and administering vaccines have been granted immunity, you want the doctor to know that you're aware of it. Yes, you're telling him. In other words, this is not going to be a fight with the doctor who thinks he knows more. This is not an argument that you're going to have with the doctor, mm-hmm. because he has an attitude issue, and he's been armed with talking points. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there's not going to be an argument. You're just going to fill this out, have it witnessed, and hand it to him and say, please put this in my file. This is a response to your request to vaccinate my child. And if it's in the file, then we won't be having this discussion every so many months. Okay. Thank you very much. Hugs and kisses.
Yeah.
Conversation's over.
Okay.
It identifies the players as corporations. It identifies the fact that the doctor's getting reimbursements for the vaccines, which the patient isn't supposed to know. In it, we make a simple statement. I am aware of multiple scientific peer-reviewed papers that have exposed the dangers of many vaccines as well as the herd immunity myth of 1933. Yeah.
Well, with that in mind, give us your website addresses so that our listeners can find out more about you and what you do.
One is Parents Against Mandatory Vaccines. The other, and same thing can be done, is People for Safe Technologies, which we haven't talked about, but that also is a big concern of mine.
We're going to get there the next interview, and you're doing a great job at all of this. Let's plan to do some other interviews in the future about some of these other topics.
That would be fabulous. Yeah, I've enjoyed this.
Oh, you've done a great job with all of your work with vaccines and just made it very, very understandable for us and for our listeners, and I so appreciate the opportunity to speak with you about it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I think it was great. I enjoyed it.
Having elderly parents like this is like having two-year-olds with driver's licenses, right?
Number one. You really learn what you're capable of.
Your assumptions are going to be turned somewhat upside down.
It's an issue that nobody wants to talk about, which is why I think
the work that you're doing and the stories that you're sharing with everyone are fantastic.
Hi, I'm Gianna Panaritis, host of the AgeWise podcast. Listen to a brand new episode each week at speakuptalkradio.com. To learn more about the show, go to agewyz.com.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green, and I would love for you to become a part of my world. Mrs. Green's World is an engaged international community and a global movement of ideas and action made up of people who truly care about their own health and the health of this great planet of ours. In Mrs. Green's World, we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. Please visit my website at mrsgreensworld.com and become a part of our world.
Well, there you have it, my friends. Another show goes by so quickly, doesn't it? But don't worry, we'll be back next week with more to talk about. Meantime, be sure to visit the website speakupandstayalive.com. Speakupandstayalive.com. It's where you can get a copy of the book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, The Patient Advocate Hospital Survival Guide, a book that so many of us need, whether we are in the hospital, visiting a friend in the hospital, have a loved one in the hospital. And I always tell folks, you don't even have to read the book. Just from the cover alone, we'll start a conversation if you simply lay the book on the tray table. Everyone who comes in the room will stop and say, "What is that?" It offers you the opportunity to start a conversation with everyone who walks in the room, and then they will know that you are different from everyone else, that you are an e-patient, educated, enlightened, equipped, and eager to get out alive. It's only $20 at the website. speakupandstayalive.com. And while you're there, check out the other links on the page, such as the speaking page, and invite me to speak to your group, club, business, church, organization, or even hospital. And if you know me, you know I always have so much to talk about. No one falls asleep on my watch during any of my speaking presentations. So give me a call, 440-725-5462. That is 440-725-5462. I can guarantee you this, your crowd will love it. No more time, but remember, I will be back next week. Same time, same place, but never the same information. Until then, I hope you have a healthy and a happy week. I am Pat Rulo, and I am the voice for informed choice. Are you in the market to purchase a home? Are you thinking of selling yours? Well, I've personally worked with the McCaskey team. They're conveniently located on Chardon Square. Give them a call, 440-773-5542. 440-773-5542. Ask for my friends Dan or Terry, or visit their website, McCaskeyTeam.com. That's McCaskeyTeam.com. McCaskeyTeam.com. Hi, I'm Pat Rulo, author, speaker, and radio host of Speak Up Talk Radio. I'm local and vocal when it comes to healthcare safety. If you need a life-changing topic and speaker for your next event, call me, 440-725-5462, or visit speakupandstayalive.com. Patient safety is your right, so don't go wrong. Let me share what I know with your group, 440-725-5462, or visit speakupandstayalive.com.